Welcome to the podcast, Therese Makes History, Season 1, The Dairy Lane Project, Bomaderry to Berry. Today I present Episode 5, Devitt's Lane. My name is Therese Sweeney and I'm a social historian and now a podcaster. Part of the production of this episode is supported by two local companies, Turfco, which is the highest agricultural employer in the region and has been operating for 40 years in Jasper's Brush, owned by Gavin Rogers. Additionally, thanks to McGoldrick Estate Agents for coming on board and supporting this important digital project. The McGoldrick family has been selling homes, farms and lifestyle properties in Berry since 1987. Thank you, Tim. Devitt's Lane is located on the northern side of the highway. Like many pioneering families, the Devitt's journey began across terrain in Jamberoo to Woodhill Mountain and Broughton Vale. The patriarch, John Devitt, migrated from Donegal Island, indentured to Adam and Mary Boyd, who had migrated earlier in 1853 to the Jamberoo area. John Devitt married their daughter Eliza in 1860 at Kiama. They had four children, John James, born 1861, Mary Jane, born 1862, Adam Andrew, born 1863, and Susanna, born in 1865, all at Broughton Vale. Between 1863 to 1869, John purchased 320 acres of Crown land at Woodhill Mountain for £1 per acre. He then purchased adjoining lots in parishes Camberwarra and Broughton for his two sons. By 1885, he had accumulated 490 acres, owning further blocks on the west side of Brogers Creek. John James Devitt married his neighbour Mary Jane Brandon in 1887 at Watamolla. They had five children, one of whom was Albert Devitt. Alexander Berry had the land grant to the main part of the lower property known as Devitt's Lane. Then a gentleman by the name of Arthur McLean purchased it in 1905. Albert Devitt married Grace Shepherd. Her father, William Shepherd, bought the property after McLean died from 1911. Grace was a Boxall. The couple were involved in Maroo Union Church. Both sides of the family were heavily involved in the Methodist Church and the Wesleyan Church prior to that. William Shepherd was the superintendent at Maroo Sunday School. William and his family lived in a slab house down near the creek where the cow bales are, prior to the weatherboard house that was built and divided into two homes. Albert and Grace lived in this home when they took over the property named Sunnyside in 1932. Their daughter Valerie married Reginald Thomas Radford, who came from Queensland. He joined the RAAF during the war and after the war was stationed at St George's Basin. He met Valerie probably at church. All the RAF men would jump in the back of a truck and head to Nowra on Sundays for church services, getting dropped off at their preferred church. They married in 1947 and settled in Wollongong for a while. They were asked to run the family farm with Arthur and Grace from 1950. Electricity had been introduced that year as well. In 1950, Valerie and Reginald's second son Arthur was born. Arthur has provided the insight to this era via telephone to me recently. There was a terrible flood that year he was born, which caused some land to slide on Sunnyside. Half the hill came down. Whilst at Sunnyvale, they farmed with draft horse and plough. On the steeper hills, they used a moldboard plough, grew potatoes, corn, hay, and had a range of fruit trees. They never could afford to mechanise their property, milking 30 cows twice a day. They were probably the last property in the district to use horsepower. Sunnyside is located in the top of the valley, positioned near Wiley's Creek. The house was positioned on the rise of a hill. A water pipe ran from the creek, 2 inches galvanised, across paddocks to the neighbours to get gravity fed for the water. There were water tanks as well around the house. Arthur recalls sitting on the slide whilst his grandfather used a scythe to cut hay. Then they'd use long pitchforks to lift it on top of the hay shed where Arthur stamped out the air. Their family were too poor to maintain a living and sold the property in 1963 to Pat Ryan from Bury. Arthur's family moved to Bury and bought a house in Alexander Street. He caught the bus then to Maru School and later to Nowra High School. Over that 12-month period, the house at Sunnyside was rented out to an Englishman. He was trying to breed chickens in the back room and keep them warm with a kerosene heater, which caught fire and the original homestead burnt to the ground. It was originally reported as an electrical fire, but the Englishman on his deathbed told the truth to Arthur's father, Reginald. Lanes tended to be named after families that lived at the higher point of the lane. Grace had said, "It's because they were always writing to the council for the road to be graded." The Devitts were a prominent family. Arthur recalls also that the Hitchcocks had farmed previously on higher land in Devitts Lane, as there were remnants of a milking shed also. So now we get to meet the current owner, John Martin, whose parents purchased the property in 1964. They ran a small dairy at Fairview, opposite Devitts Lane, on the southern side of the Princes Highway. They used the property to run their dry cows. They eventually moved in permanently to Sunnyside in 1981 after building a home. Today, John Martin farms beef cattle at Sunnyside. And I welcome John to the project. I'm with John Martin from Sunnyside, 219 Devitts Lane, Maru Meadow. Thanks for joining me today, John.
No, pleasure.
What's your normal routine here? What is it? Sunnyside. What a beautiful name for a property. There's a bit of history here, isn't there?
Yes. We've owned Sunnyside since 1964, October 1964, we bought it. And we just used it as a dry run to run our dairy cattle on until, well, about 1980. We sold the dairy farm side of it in 1980s. Yeah, we had a dairy farm just down across the highway opposite Devitts Lane.
So that was your original residence on the highway?
Yes, Mum and Dad were there for, oh, I think, about 35 years.
What address was that?
The property was named Fairview. As I said, we ran a small dairy there. I think it was just Prince's Highway, Maru Meadow.
Which side of the highway, or was it both sides?
It was on the south side of the highway.
How big was Fairview?
It was about 80 acres. The Maru Hall was in the western corner of it. I think it was on its own land. Just had a mixed herd of dairy cows. We only milked about, around 30, 35 head those days. Mum and Dad came there and I think it must have been about 1945. And they'd spent 10 years on Bundanon. They had it leased from the Mackenzies up the river where what was Arthur Boyd's place. But Mackenzies were the original owners of it. And Mum and Dad's parents too came out. Dad and his parents two brothers. They came out from Northern Ireland. They were born in Belfast. Came out here to Australia, and Dad worked about on different farms. I think that's going back when they came here. Well, around about 1925 or 29.
So your grandparents migrated from Belfast?
Yeah, on Dad's side of the family.
So the paternal side, what were their names?
Their names were Martin, and that's where my name comes from. Grandfather's name was John Frederick Martin. I think she was a Hurd, Margaret Hurd, her original name. And she married John Frederick Martin, the grandfather. Yeah, they came out here to Australia. But anyway, they moved on to Bundenan up the river, which, well, everybody calls it Bundenon, but it's not. It's Bundenan. So I always correct that. And they had it leased from Mackenzie's, who owned Bundenan.
What were they doing there, and what was happening at Bundenan?
Well, they were dairying.
What sort of cows do you know back then? What were they?
Oh, I think they're just a mixed lot of cows, probably mainly Illawarras, I'm not sure.
Is this before your birth?
Yes, yes.
So you're going off stories you were told or photos?
Mainly, I can remember a fair bit of the history, what Dad used to say, and because we'd been back to Bundenan a few times over the years just to have a look at the place. Last time we went up there, it was an open day, and that was when Arthur and Yvonne Boyd were there. I said to Yvonne that day, we got talking to them, had a good yarn to them, a lovely couple, and down to earth, and I said to Yvonne, I said, Dick, pronounce the name Bundenon now. I said, it should be Bundenan. Yes, she says, I agree with you. I said, all these school teacher yuppies on the board that they had changed it, but anyhow.
When was that? When did you?
They stayed there until 1945. I think they came from there to Maru.
At Bundenan, how were they dairying, and how would they get the milk?
I think it was mainly milking by hand, I'm not sure.
How do you imagine they would have got the milk to a depot?
Well, they used to take it down to the river and put it on a punt, and the punt used to cross the river and connect up with a... There must have been a milk carrier. All in cans those days. I think it was about 1,000 acres in it, and it had a big old two-storey homestead on it, which Grandfather Martin lived in, and his wife, and Mum and Dad, when Dad got married, Mum, she come from down Tilba, because Dad worked on a couple of farms earlier on down around Tilba and Cobargo.
Do you know any of the families, the names?
Oh, he worked for Vic Tett's farm down at Cobargo, out of west of Cobargo there, and then he worked on Harry Bates's farm. That'd be going back 1929, 1930s, 31, 32. Not sure when Dad married Mum. It was 1929 or...
When did your grandfather migrate out?
Well, they all come together by ship. Took them about 6 weeks to come out.
And how old was your father on the passage out here, do you know?
Might have been only about 25, I think, when they left Bundenan.
What was the circumstances around them leaving?
Oh, well, it was only leased. I suppose once the lease ran out, decided to leave it. And I think Mum and Dad went on to a farm over in Farm Meadow. I think they lived next door to Turner's farm in Farm Meadow for a while. Then they must have come here in 1935, I think it was, to Fairview. dairy down on the highway there, just opposite Devitt's Lane.
Do you know what they would have paid for it, or how that came up, or who owned it?
It belonged to Tom Hitchcock, I think, owned it. But I wouldn't know what they paid for it. Don't think Dad ever said. He might have. We were there next door to the Mullers for about 35 years. Well, I got I came along 1948.
So what's your full name?
John Frederick Martin.
And did you have brothers and sisters?
I got a sister. She's older than me. She spent 3 years on Bundenan. I think she's about 6 years older than me.
Did your father have brothers and sisters?
He had two brothers. There was Jack Martin, and he had a dairy farm out on Harley Hill. Then there was Lou Martin. He was the youngest. He worked for John Darling, the stock feed people in Sydney. Lou Martin, he and the wife then moved to Foster.
So you were on higher ground where you were? Did you have any flooding where you were on the highway?
Down on Fairview. I know we're up on a hill there. Yeah, but it ran down onto a flat, used to flood around the creek a bit, along the creek, follow the creek down. And
did you have to build a dairy there?
No, the dairy was already there, I think, when Dad bought it. Mm.
Did it have silo?
No.
So what are your first memories of the dairy as a little boy?
As I grew up on the dairy and learned how to drive tractors and learned how to do most things on the farm and all self-taught.
Was it a hard life? Was it a hard life for your parents to make a dollar?
That's what you know, and I wouldn't say it was a hard life, no.
What sort of tractors were you driving?
Well, started off with a T20 Ferguson tractor, and that was the first one I learnt to drive on. And then we used to change them about every 10 years or so. We moved up to a Massey Ferguson 35. Then we moved up to a Ford 3000. Then when we got this farm, we needed a four-wheel drive tractor, and we moved up into four-wheel drive tractors and had one ever since. Well, we've had two or three, I think, four-wheel drive tractors over the years.
Will they make a difference, wouldn't they?
they're much safer on the hills. You didn't really need them down on the flat country, but up here you need a four-wheel drive because of safety-wise on the hill, steep hilly country.
Do you know how much milk you were producing each day on the Fairview?
Well, only going back in the cans day, 4 or 5 cans a day or so. And then we got the bulk milk come in. I think it was a 200-gallon bulk milk tank. Mum and Dad got to retirement age and it was sort of too small for one person to run. So we sold part of the dairy farm to Muller's next door.
When was that? What year?
Oh, 79, I think, 1979. We started building this house in the end of 1979. It took them about 12 months to build it. There was a nice old weatherboard home on this, on Sunnyside, on this place, and but it got burnt down about 12 months before we bought it.
Do you remember pre-mechanisation at all, or were you fully mechanised on the farm over at Fairview?
Oh, I think we were fully mechanised. We had milking machines and all that. We didn't have to milk by hand.
Did you grow crops at all?
Mainly a bit of oats, sometimes a paddock of millet. You know, if we worked up the paddocks, ploughed the paddocks and that, just for planting grass. ryegrass and clover.
How did you store it or harvest it?
We used to make 2,000 to 3,000 bales of hay every year.
So is that in the plastic wrap, you're saying?
No, there was none of that about it in those days. Just baled up into small squares. Or we used to have to pick it up by hand and that, and cart it into a shed and stack it up in the shed. But that part of it became a bit automated. We had a bale stacker on the side of the trailers to pick it up in the paddock. Bale loader, I should say. And then we had a bale stacker up in the shed, an elevator that put it up high in the shed, if need be, yeah.
How did it keep in the shed?
Well, it kept very well. It'd keep for a few years, if need be, because it was fully dried, cured before it was baled. It'd only be there for, you know, a couple of years at the most, and we were using it during the winter time, feed it out. No, it didn't have any feed stalls or troughing or anything like that, but the cows used to get a bit of dairy meal as they were being milked in the bales.
So you used to bring cows up to Sunnyside?
Yeah, we bought Sunnyside in 1964, October 1964. Going right back in the history of Sunnyside, it was originally owned by William Shepherd. William Shepherd sold it to Albert and Grace Devitt, and they then sold it on 1963. And they had a daughter, Valerie, and Valerie Devitt married Reg Radford. They must have bought it. I've got a copy of the deeds there that give all the dates and that. But
how much land is it?
It's about 140 acres. I think on paper it says 138 acres. It's 55.97 hectares. I think it's because they are the last property on the end of Devitt's Lane, because there used to be a gate just down the hill there. But the right-of-way of Devitt's Lane always went up through here and up, and it joins up with top end of Graham's Road over in the back of Maru there. But anyway,
what were they doing here? Like, do you know anything
they
about?
Devitts were dairying on it. They used to milk about 20 or 30 cows, mainly Ayrshires, I think they were. And Valerie and Reg Radford, they were running the dairy side of it. Yeah.
So really there was a lot of land for not a lot of cows.
Probably didn't have the fertilisers those days like we've got now. Used to catch a milk truck down at the end of Devitt's Lane.
So they'd have to deliver the cans down there?
Yeah, take the cans from here down to the end of the lane and put them on a truck down there, which got taken into Bomaderry.
Do you know who was carrying then?
Well, a chap named Bert Mitchell, I think, was picking up from Devitt's Lane back through Jasper's Brush. The truck had used to pick up our milk from the dairy. He'd come right into the dairy and pick it up. That was Jack Atfield. He did it for quite a few years, and then he sold his milk run to Bill Schofield. Jack Atfield died a good few years ago, but Bill, I think, is still alive. He lives along Maru Road there. And he used to go around all Maru and up into Bell's Lane picking up milk. I think they had about 21 or 22 suppliers to pick up.
This dairy across on your property, is that the original dairy they would have used?
Her Devitt's.
Yes.
Yes.
Did you use that?
We never ever milk cows on this place. We just ran our dry cows and reared our heifers on it.
What sort of raising then?
Oh, we had mainly Frisians and Illawarras.
Where did you source your cows?
Oh, Dad used to buy around some of the clearing sales. I think he might have bought a couple out of the sale yards over the years, but not many, I don't think. Bred most of them, had a bull, we used AI. Always had contractors going around AI and the cows.
Did you train yourself in that?
No, I didn't.
So what was your interest? Because you've got beef cow on the property now, yeah?
Yeah, well, I was more interested in the beef cattle. And we used to rear a few beef calves on the dairy farm and sell them. And
what type were they?
Oh, mainly the Hereford type.
What was the thinking there for you at the time?
Oh, well, when Mum and Dad got to retiring age, I was more interested to continue on with the beef side of it. We sold the dairy farm, most of it, to Mullers, and then we kept about 30 acres on the eastern end of the dairy farm. It didn't have any sheds on it, but it used to be part of Marshall's farm. George and Len Marshall had lived it. They lived down the bottom end across the railway line down Marshall's Lane.
What do you remember about them? What were they growing, and did they have cows?
Well, they had a small, milked a few cows down there, and a piece of land that we had on the eastern side of Fairview, as I said, it originally belonged to... I think it was George Marshall owned that part of it. I think there must have been about 60 acres in the block. And Albert Muller bought the bottom end of it and we bought the top end. Marshall sold it to, or people called, sold the block that we got. People called Elvin bought it. Sam Elvin, I think his name was, and he ran beef cattle on it. He had Hereford cows. And then we bought it from them in the end. Yeah, bought it from Elvin's, that 30 acres.
Why would they have sold it?
Oh, I don't know what the excuse was that they sold it. Don't think they were making much out of the beef cattle. Probably a bit too small. They probably sold it because they wanted to buy a bigger place or retire or something.
What cows are here today?
Oh, I've just got the Santa Catrudas now.
Now tell me how you started your journey with them and where you got them.
We had... when we give up the dairy and we had Hereford cattle... And for a while, up until about 1986, Hereford cattle, they didn't really have enough milk and weren't big enough in size, and they used to get eye cancers and that. Always had a passion for Santa Catrudas and used to go to the King Ranch sales over in Barrel. Years and years ago, that's going back about 50, 60 years ago. Anyway, 1986 we started using Berry Veterinary Clinic, and they were doing a bit of AI work, so they hired some, well, I think about 13 or 14 cows with Santa Catrudas semen. I think I got a bit... half a dozen calves out of that. And then from then on we started buying Santa Catrudas bulls. Bought my first bulls from Jumping Rock Stud in Bundanoon. We must have had three bulls we got from Jumping Rock. And the first few years, used to deal through F.A. Wallace and Sons, Mosfar Stock and Station Agency. When we sold cattle, when we got into the beef, we used to send most of them to the Mosfar sales, weekly sales over there, and we used to sell through F.A. Wallace. We did sell through Nowra sales through A.J. Campbell and Sons for quite a few years when we were on the dairy. Moved up here and the dairy side of it was sold, and I still do send most of my cattle to Mossvale.
Is it a profitable business? I suppose it would go up and down, yeah?
It pays the bills, that's about it. Yes.
What do you think of the breed?
Oh, they're a good breed, fast growing, and I don't try to rear vealers from the Santa Catrutas. They're not really good for vealers. They tend to be, they look magnificent for a couple of weeks and then they start growing again. But the Santa Catrutas cows, they've got plenty of milk and they got the size and bone in them. The feedlot buyers, they generally like to buy me steers that I sell.
So just taking you back to when you, just getting back to that point with the Hereford cattle, so the sun was too much for their eyes here, was it?
Oh, well, I suppose that'd be one reason, yeah. Well, they'd get grass seed in their eyes during the springtime, late spring, and you'd have to get the cancers treated in their eyes. But I think mainly now they breed Hereford cattle that have got a bit of red pigmentation around the eyes, and that's got rid of that problem quite a bit.
Who were the vets you were using back in when you were a young man?
Oh, we used to use vets in there. There was one vet called Chisholm, Otto Ordo, I think his name was. We used him for quite a few years.
He was a migrant, was he?
Yes, yeah. He used to, it was when we had the dairy farm, and still looked after us after we'd come up here for a while. All the vets then, I don't know, they retired and sold their business. And the last vet we used in there is only a young fella and switched over to Berry Veterinary Clinic. They've been using them since 1986. It was run by Jeff Scarlett and Jeff Manning in those days. Then they sold the business to Anthony Bennett and Bryden Krebs, I think his name is. Now it's run by Bryden himself. Anthony, he passed away, and he's got a team of vets there, two or three, maybe four lady vets, and another American, Jordan.
What other sort of issues might have arisen with your dairy cows back in the day, you know, in those earlier years? Was there any illnesses or diseases that you had to contend with?
I think milk fever was the main problem with them after they'd calve, freshly calved cows, and they'd go down with milk fever and you'd have to call the vet. They'd give them a dose of, I think it was calcium and that, and they'd have them up on their feet within 5 or 10 minutes.
Where did you get your supplies and things?
Oh, well, with Nowra Dairy Company.
What sort of vehicle was your dad driving?
Holdens were our main vehicles. We didn't have a truck when we had the dairy farm. Stuff used to get delivered by the milk carrier. He'd pick it up, or like dairy meal and stuff. And then as the years went on, there was a chap called Ken Bryce. He started off a dairy feed delivery business. and he had a bulk truck, and used to buy the dairy pellets, get them stored on the farm. He used to fill a, had a corner walled off in the barn that was beside the dairy, and he'd fill that with the pellets. And
what were you wanting to do with your life? At school, what were you thinking? And did you like school?
I mean, just work on the farm. I left school when I was 15 and come home and just continued on the farm. Well, over the years, I used to do a bit of contracting work with the tractor, mainly. That come later in life. I go around and do a bit of slashing for people. Did a lot of slashing over the years for Ketchinghams, who'd had a farm down end of Devitt's Lane. And there's a couple of blocks up in Boxers Lane and Graham's Road, as it's known now. I used to go up there, slash a couple of blocks. A couple of the neighbours around me here used to get me to do a bit of slashing.
Pretty high up on that Graham's Road, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't do any of that now, only for one chap that got 5 acres down the lane there. He's Greek George. He doesn't live on the place down there, but he comes down once a week, and if he wants a paddock slashed, well, he always gets me to do it.
So this current herd, these bulls you have here that are very attractive-looking bulls...
They're pure Santas. Started crossing them with the Herefords. Took about 4 years to get up to the... 4 to 5 years to get up to the purebred Santa stage.
So you started crossing them to begin with?
Yes.
Why would you do that? Tell me about that.
They did cross very well with the Herefords. We had crossbreeds for a few years, but gradually worked into the pure Santa.
Tell me what you know about the breed. Why? How did you find out about the breed?
Probably just through in the land papers and reading about them in the land papers and country magazines, because over the years you get to know the different studs around.
What are some of the studs that you're impressed by?
King Ranch, because that was a bit out of my league a bit, but I was always very interested to go and see there. They had a bull sale pretty well every year, I think. Used to go to their sales, but I never ever bought any bulls from them. So it was after 1986. Probably the first bull we bought would have been in 87, and we bought that from Joyce's. Phil Joyce at Bundanoon, Jumping Rock Stud, they used to call. Used to go to their sales too. But then we, to buy our Santa bulls, we used to go through Peter Wallace. He was the son of F.A. Wallace, Keith Wallace, stock and station agents in Mossvale.
How many beef cattle have you got here?
Well, there's about, I suppose, counting the calves that I got now, there must be about around 60, 65 head. Used to be up around the 80 head mark, but with the droughts and dry years and that, cut back a bit. Keep all the heifers pretty well, rear them, and they replace the cows that I sell. I generally let the cows go for about 3 calvings, 4 calvings, and then push them off and heifers replace them.
When did you leave Fairview? You sold that 30 acres, or have you still got it?
No, we sold that. We left Fairview I think it was the beginning of 81, we moved up here into this house.
So who moved here?
Mum and Dad and myself.
Did you ever marry?
No, I've never married. Mum passed away in November 1994. She was 84 and Dad lived on till 2003. 9th of November 2003, Dad passed away.
How old was he?
He was 94, and he was good right up until the last... Oh, he just started to go downhill in the last 3 months of his life, and he spent the last month in a nursing home in Bomaderry, which was fortunate, really.
What did you do for social life, your family? Who did you mix with or where?
Not much of a social life.
Did you go to the hall at all?
Yes, they used to have dances at the hall. We used to be involved in arranging them. Dad was secretary of the PNC quite a few years. They used to have a Christmas night at the in the hall. Every year.
And Muller's picnic days, do you remember them?
Yeah, Muller's picnic days. Yeah, that was with the Maru Church, really. But religion's not one of my favourite subjects, so I didn't go to Sunday school most Sundays and that, but I never ever liked it much.
Who was your teacher at Sunday school?
Pearl Feeney, she was. She's Pearl Biggs.
Now, what didn't you like about it?
Oh, I don't know. It just never ever grabbed me, the religion side of it.
What about your parents?
And I'm still the same. I get the JWs coming in sometimes. And I said, don't start talking about religion. I'm not interested.
So what are you interested in? Were you a sports person or...?
Oh, no, not really.
Bit of a loner?
Yeah, you'd probably say that. Being the only boy in the family, just myself and my sister, always doing things alone when I was a kid, building billy carts and that sort of stuff.
Do you listen to the radio or...?
Yeah, I still listen to the radio now. Television's my main entertainment now.
What do you like on television?
Mainly these lifestyle type of shows.
Were you a member of any club?
No.
You're a bit like David Marshall, aren't you?
Yeah, David and I are pretty well much the same, I think. Yeah.
It's interesting. I find it interesting.
Yeah. I met David here a couple of weeks ago in at the Castrol oil shop along Maru Road there, and I hadn't seen him for, oh, must be 30 years. Seen him, and yet he's got a block that joins me over the back of the hill, back of the ridge that runs from my place out to the highway there, which he still owns. And but anyhow, we had a good yarn there for half an hour or more on the steps of at the Castrol shop. Yeah. Did you meet Anne?
Haven't yet, no. I've got to get a photo of Anne.
That's his sister. She lives beside him.
Here you are on your 140 acres in Devitt's Lane. What are some of the key sort of issues you have on the farm that you have to manage today?
Mainly weeds and that. Got to keep the slasher going and do a bit of pasture harrowing couple of times a year, and but mainly just looking after the pastures now. And some of them weeds now, there's fireweed about, and Parramatta grass, and older for it, you can't keep up as much now.
Do you remember having to clear land when you were young, like with a...
No.
Was it cleared when your family had the property?
It was already cleared. You know, over the years down on the dairy, we had the tractors and slashers and pasture harrow and fertilising and ploughing and that sort of thing. And but up here, it's different. You can't go out and plough up a paddock or anything because you'd be afraid of it getting washed away if a big storm comes.
What's the weather like up here? Is it a different climate here compared to down where you were?
Not much difference, I don't think. The average rainfall was reckoned around 52 inches a year. You can get up to 60, 70, 80 inches in a year, or you might only get about 35, 40 inches in a year. Some of the dry years and that we had, only got up to about 40. I got records there of all the rainfall over the years.
You seen any logging trails around or butter trails or...?
They used to get cedar logs out years and years ago across the mountain here. Because I can remember there used to be a lump of wire rope laying on the ground up the top end of my farm there for years and years. But that was... That's gone back way before our day.
Like, we're looking at the creek here behind your property on Devitt's. Just describe what happened with this rock.
Oh, well, this rock that you can see in the creek, it's got piled up with the rain bomb we had in March 2024. There must be at least a million tonnes of rock piled up down through my place here, and fortunately it didn't do any damage to me water supply. I've still got it. It's a pipeline that's been there for 100 years and it's fully licensed.
And where's that based?
It's just
further up the hill.
Gravity fed. It comes out of the creek way up above my place there.
A water hole, you were saying.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Well,
it comes across. It used to go right across to Duncan's property next door to the Maru School. But now it only goes through my place and into one neighbour. The rest of it, they use town water supply.
But yeah, you're not supplied by town?
No, got no town water here. And so it's gravity fed. About an inch and a half pipe to start with, and then it goes down to 1 inch. It used to be all galvanised steel, but now it's all poly pipe. Oh, well, it's underground, so it depends. If it's near a coral tree or something, the coral tree roots mangle it up sometimes.
You've got a lot of coral trees on your property.
Yeah, there's quite a few I've planted over the years, but...
For your cows?
Not anymore now. I don't plant them anymore.
So they're eucalyptus trees?
Yes. They're called woolly butt because they've got a bit of rough bark around the butt end of them.
And you've still got cedar here?
Oh, yes. There's still a lot of cedar on the farm.
They just couldn't get to it at the time?
No, you need a bulldozer and that and with a winch on it. But the really good cedar trees are right up in the mountain. You can't touch them now. They're protected.
Excuse me, John, I just have to take this call. It's Ray Strong. Yes, Ray. I'm just in the middle of a recording at the moment.
Hi, Therese. Listen, I'm wondering where your podcast is going to get into the Jasper's Brush. You did a lot of our recording some time ago and we're still waiting.
Oh, yes. Look, sorry, Ray, I'm still in Maru Meadow and I've just found someone in Fletcher's Lane and I've got to speak to a refrigeration guy whose dad ran the milk factory at Bomaderry, so I'm trying to get to Jasper's Brush. I won't be long.
Something else I missed telling you while we were speaking ages ago. I forgot to mention I used to run the bar. I had the liquor licence at the Berry Show.
When was this, Ray?
It was back in the 80s and the 90s.
And was that a fundraiser?
Yes, we run it on behalf of the Berry Rugby League Football Club.
Can you share a story with me, Ray? I hear it might have been a bit wild back then.
Well, I don't know about wild, but it was pretty busy. Everybody appeared to be pretty thirsty on both days, Friday and Saturday, when we run the bar.
Can you tell me a story, Ray? Just one.
There were probably a few, but there's a lot I can't tell you. Anyway, this particular one, and because I was a licensee, the local constabulary used to want to keep a check on us from time to time. And we had a pretty good sergeant in town at that stage. He was great for the community. Anyway, he'd come round on the Saturday night, which was our busiest time, and check when we were going to close the bar, and I'd tell him the time. He said, OK, well, I'll come in the vehicle and I'll do the rounds. He said, you be loaded up with the rest of the gear out of this joint with whatever money you've got in your vehicle and tuck in behind me and we'll both drive out of the showground together, which we did, heading towards town and Alexandra Street. We got up to the School of Arts and sergeant in his vehicle, he pulled into the curb ahead of me, so I thought I'd better do the same, which I did. He got out of the vehicle and he came back to me. He said, we'll have to wait a little while because there's a radar unit set up in the main street here, so I've got to move him before we can move on, which happened, and then that was all very good and we proceeded back home to my joint.
So the chaperone had to clear the booze bus type thing?
Pretty much, yes.
So it's not all ginger beer and Jesus then here in Berry, is it? Listen, I've got to get going, Ray. I'll be in touch. I'm sorry it's taking a bit, but, you know, we've got to be thorough here in Maru, and Jasper's will get a good spread too.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Therese.
Sorry, John. Ray's a bit high maintenance. He's very passionate about Jasper's Brush, getting its history done. And he's been on my back about it. Well, I did his recording in November. Do you know he drove racing cars? Anyway, I'll get back. We better get back. Where were we? Do you want to go for a walk to this dairy? I want to have a look at it. Thanks, John. I'll put some images up on my website that reflect today. The dairy, the cows, the creek with a million tons of rock, and some of the flora around that creek. In coming weeks, we'll hear more about the Devitt family, but where they're positioned in Jasper's Brush with brother Adam Andrew Devitt and his descendants. But I'll save that until then. That brings us to the end of the recording. Thanks for listening. Join me in a few weeks for episode 6, focusing on Fletcher's Lane and the surrounding areas there, Abernethys. I've uncovered a bit of a jewel. Pearl Feeney was her maiden name. Pearl Biggs is her name today, and I'm looking forward to meeting her. Also, I'm going to be having some beautiful posters about the project on my website, and I'm going to pick up a couple of T-shirts tomorrow. One is for the podcast, The Dairy Lane Project, and if you're wanting to support the project, perhaps that's a way you can, by wearing a little T-shirt or buying a poster with one of my lovely photos on it, promoting the project. Yeah, greatly appreciated. TherieseSweeney.com.au. Give me a few days to sort that out. Okay, ciao.